Good day and welcome to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, putting the P in professionally managed vacation rentals. This is the Vacation Rental Management Professionals Podcast, coming to you from the Outer Banks of North Carolina
and from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. I'm Sarah Bradford from Winter Park and Steamboat Springs.
And I'm Tim Cafferty from the Outer Banks of North Carolina and Sandbridge, Virginia. Together, we bring you the first podcast focused solely on professionally managed vacation rentals across the nation, or as we like to call it, Sea to Ski
with Sarah and T.
In the next 30 minutes, we hope you'll join us on a journey as we dive into issues affecting folks like us, the professional vacation rental manager, allowing you to run your business more effectively, make more money, and most importantly, have fun doing it.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tim.
And today we have a very special guest that I think many of you have heard of. If you haven't, you'll need to check into her publication and website. And that is Amy Hynote, who I had the pleasure long, long ago of having worked at my front desk for a month. And that's where she says she got inspired to really go for it with her publication, VRM Intel. And she has an incredible magazine that comes out every quarter. And then also her website is full of the latest hot off the press. So we do not so hot off the press. Amy does hot off the press. So thank you so much for joining us, Amy.
I appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
And you've been described as one of the top influencers in the industry. I think that's pretty accurate, particularly with your publication, VRM Intel. And so as we've interviewed property managers in the past, we've asked them about the history of it. Give us the rundown on VRM Intel, how you got there, particularly with the finance degree.
Yeah, actually, my degree was in finance, but I was actually in interior design for a while. But ended up in the marketing field, working for an ad agency that represented vacation rental management companies on the Gulf Coast. And one of those was Kaiser Realty. And I ended up taking a job with them to head up their marketing department. So I did that for 4 years. And Kaiser was bought by Wyndham. Then I went to Instant Software, which was a hint to do their marketing, which was a software company that had Property Plus and First Resort, Intech 12, and then that company was bought by HomeAway. So if you need to sell your company, you should hire me. I feel like everywhere I go, someone gets acquired. From there, I, like Sarah said, I ended up starting the data company, which is now known as Key Data Dashboard. And I really wanted to work in some markets that I hadn't seen. So I actually agreed to work Sarah's front desk for a month in March, and she put me up in a condo in exchange. It was pretty great. And from there, VRM Intel was born. It's funny because VRM Intel was actually the name for the data company. But after working with her, I started really working on the media side, and it just became more of a publication, and the website became more popular. And I mean, I'm not saying it replaced the data, but it certainly became a bigger force in my life.
That's what I would call good timing. There was no one in that space. And I have to say, I remember when you explained it to me, what you wanted to do, and it was in Arizona outside of that hotel. And I thought, I don't even know what she's talking about. And now it makes perfect sense. So way to have a forward-looking thought and concept. On that Key Data Dashboard, I'd love to ask you a question about that. Not so much about the platform, but obviously you saw that data and data analysis, which really includes yield management and looking at data of our company, is vital to the vacation rental manager. How many vacation rental managers do you think are really looking at their data correctly? And if you were back in as an owner like Tim and me, what would you say to us about how often we should be looking at data, how we should look at the data? There's so much to look at. How do you decide where to even start?
I think right now, and this isn't, it's going to sound harsher than I mean it to, I think zero property managers are looking at their data correctly in the way that we should be able to have in this industry. Having aggregated data, having aggregated market data is so important, but it's even more important that it's good data. So aggregating data is a pretty tricky business in the vacation rental space. Do you include fees or do you not? Do you include the check-in? Are we looking at the month on arrival date or departure date? are trying to prorate out, which is harder to do because some of the fees are prorated and some of them aren't. So, I mean, apples to apples data in our industry is not simple. And so that is something that is kind of being baked out right now at all of these companies who are working on it. All of the new platforms and data are trying to solve for some of these apples to apples issues that they have. And so right now we just don't have good market data. One of the things like the hotel industry, Smith Travel, that star report that everyone relies on, that historically has been self-reported data. So the hotels send in what their monthly metrics are, but they're all sending in something that's very similar. In our industry, that self-reported data is not an option. If Tim were to ask five of his competitors what their occupancy rate and average daily rate were, they would all pull reporting in a different way. So that's unfortunate. That it's just taking some time to get it into an aggregated way. But comparing how your company is doing up against the market data is the only way that we're going to be able to set accurate price. And I'm a little concerned right now with the data platforms that are only comparing up against OTA performance. So if the only price, I hate to even bring up OTAs because my goal was not to. if all they're doing is looking at the pricing on Airbnb and Booking and HomeAway and TripAdvisor, they miss a whole lot of when the best booking is perhaps. So the pricing automatically drops down and looks like it's lower than what it actually should be.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Amy, because one of the most frustrating things for me is, as you said, getting that data in my hands. I can't even rely on the information I get from our local tourism board because it's 45 days late telling me about what occupancy right. took place in, for instance, July or something like that. And so this data is just critical or key, as one might say. So tell us about this key data initiative. What kind of stuff are you going to be giving me?
Well, I mean, I've sold my position in the company. I'm no longer a part of that company at all. But I will say that what the goal of the company is or was is to take the data would come direct is coming directly from the software system, and that was a huge challenge. Solving for that was probably the thing that I'm most proud of. You know, it's finally getting that whole idea that it needs to come with an integration with your property management software. From that, then there are some settings with the data coming in that you can exclude fees or include fees, or you could look at, you could pull by arrival date or departure date or the occupancy, and then you can start to look at things in the way that you want to look at them. Then know that the data is not just pulling from your system a certain way, but for everyone else is the same way. And so that was, I think, the first step, but certainly that still happens. It's at the later stages of that. And we're looking at what those key metrics are that you want to look at to make decisions. Average daily rate and occupancy rate is critical, but it's critical by property type. So looking at condos versus houses or looking at the size of the property is so important. And then making sure that that market has enough critical mass to show it so that it is anonymized. And there is enough data there to make a decision. Sense. It's not easy and it's going to take time, but somebody will get there eventually.
Yeah, I see why it's so complicated. Hotels, it's a hotel room. We know what a Hilton provides. We know what a Ritz-Carlton provides. We can compare them pretty easily. Completely different game in the vacation rental world. I noticed too that the information I get from the chamber, they might compare houses even, but even a house, so different from another house. Where is it? What are the finishes? How's it decorated? Is it open? Do the owners use it so much that it makes it look like mm-hmm. it's not booking? I mean, I don't know. That boggles my mind. In the meantime, if you're not using a product, if you jump back into the world of managing, what would you look at every week, Amy? If you said, okay, well, we have what we have. What are we going to talk about this week to make sure we're staying on track? What would be your number one metric?
I mean, I think average daily rate was definitely the one that you want year over year. Average daily rate is pretty critical. It's also, we had some, and there's some settings in the system too, to look at seasons. So that you're monitoring a Saturday to Saturday summer season or holiday season, a date over date that may be in the middle of the week versus the weekend. I mean, that was one of the things that we found that was pretty important looking at data. The percentage change is where things start to get really interesting. It's not just what's going on. It's about how is that different from last year and the year before and the year before. The upside of these systems that are from data from your software is that you can go back for years. So you don't have to wait or you don't have to say, oh, we didn't collect that back then. it comes in, and that's kind of a plus. But like, for instance, we pulled some data from the Gulf Coast over the summer. In most cases, the Gulf Coast was down for most of the summer. They were actually down a few percentage points year over year. And it was interesting because there are a lot of other economic indicators that were up. International travel, you know, there weren't as many people going overseas this year on their vacations. We also saw that the real estate market was super high and awareness of vacation rentals was really high. There was just a lot of things going on. But I think everyone on the Gulf Coast expected to have a pretty good year. On top of that, the weather last year was terrible. So to actually see a decline in revenue in that area was strange. But then when you compare it up against North Carolina, who had an amazing year, then it gets a little bit more interesting. And I think that's where some of this aggregated data starts to have a little bit more value. Like, is it just us? I think that's the number one question I think you want to know is it my company or is it the market? And if it's your company, then you can fix that. If it's the market, then you have to work together to fix it.
So I want to move to another topic. We just are coming off of our most popular podcast ever, Amy. It is the VRMA/VRHP conference takeaways. We had over 200 plays in the first 24 hours.
That's amazing.
So people were really in tune to what was going on out there. And I don't know, maybe they just wanted to hear themselves because we had 27 property managers giving their takeaways. But you were on that podcast as well. And I remember you said, you know what, there's a lot of noise going on in the vacation rental business right now. And it's not relevant to what we're doing. I want to give you a chance to expand on that now that you've had some time to think about what happened there and what really is happening out in the field.
Yeah, I think there was so much going on at the conference that it was almost hard to take it all in. I feel like I had to like almost sleep for a day, crawl into a dark room and rock and just like try to let it all marinate in our heads before trying to say anything. It was really interesting. There was a whole lot of new, listen to your podcast, it was really good, by the way.
Thanks.
That there were a lot of new faces. There was a lot of everything that you guys talked about there being a lot of new money, a lot of investors, a lot of people who don't manage vacation rentals that were at that conference. And I think that starts to change the vibe of it a little bit. I felt a little bit like Sarah did in that, you know, I didn't get to see a lot of the people that I normally get to see and hang out with. But some of those sessions, I think, Tim, you were in a lot of them too, that were driven by the investment community, by venture capitalists, discussions about funding, discussions about multi-destination managers. And I think that what my opinion of it is, there's a reality of our industry and there is a speculation in our industry. And I don't think those two things are really connecting in the way that they probably should yet. I think there are a lot of people who are just looking at now, I think, of the new valuation or the new size of our market is supposed to be $190 billion by 2020. And there are a lot of people on the macro level that are looking at the global $191 billion opportunity. They're putting together pitch decks and trying to grab their piece of that pie. But none of that matters when you're servicing guests and homeowners. None of it does. And even the multi-destination managers haven't really found a scalable, profitable business model yet. And so for the company that actually has to make money, listening to a company that doesn't have to make money, that their primary source of revenue is funding, I think those are very different discussions.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy, just to tee that up even more. I see on your website, VRMintel.com, often says, Vacasa just got 34 more million. Turnkey just got 60 million. And Tim and I shake our heads, and I'll just speak for myself. I think, how in the world? I still don't truly understand how that can be a successful business model. But then I listen to investors, and they have never been in the vacation rental industry. They don't understand the tedious work you have to do as a decent-sized vacation rental company, talking with owners, getting to know them, answering their questions, working with realtors, dealing with the hot tub has a leak and we have a guest coming tomorrow. I have no idea how that scales. And I wonder if you have insight into how those big box virtual managers, as I call them, can succeed. Like, how could they be as nimble and personable and detailed as you have to be managing someone's $2 million home?
That $2 million home is the differentiator. They could be successful in an urban market. If they go in and do multifamily leases and things like that that they're going on right now, those models, I think, do scale. I think what Jordan is doing at Stay Alfred, what Sondra is trying to do, not quite as successfully, because Jordan's just a very profit-minded business owner. Those things where you can actually be in the same building and control not just the facility, but all the amenities too. I think there are some models there that are possible. On the condo side, I think that it's possible that you could find a resort collection type brand that could do well in condos. But when you get into individual homes, especially individual luxury homes, that's not happening. We're not seeing, there's not a profitable, scalable model that has emerged yet. I mean, looking at Mikasa alone, $200 million in funding, and they have 11,000 properties. I mean, that comes out to, what is that, about $18,000 a property? And Tim remembers from Resort Quest days, the average cost of acquisition in those types of situations was under 15. So, I mean, this is a much higher cost of acquisition than what we saw in the Resort Quest, and not that Resort Quest was the most successful scalable model either. And now they're talking about hitting an IPO, and I think that there are a lot of people, including Tim and the guys who were a part of that Resort Quest roll-up, could probably share some information, you know, with the market about what an IPO really means in our state. Yeah, the short answer is there. I mean, there's just not one.
Yeah, I'm amazed that money keeps pouring in. That is the case of, I think investors don't know the space.
What people are not watching, the metrics, just by analyzing data, how much money is flowing out. I mean, Hilton put millions of dollars in the O-Race, and it's gone. They got saved by a core on One Fine Stay, and then One Fine Stay is lost. I think they wrote down $28 million in losses last year over, what, 200 exclusive listings? I mean, that's insane. Wow. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like there's not a focus on profitability, and there doesn't seem to be, need to be one in that space. And, you know, in talking to investors and talking to all the people who are looking at it, they don't seem to have any – that doesn't give them heartburn. It's just that the entire world of venture capital where you invest in 10 companies – only knowing that one is going to succeed. You know, you're just trying to hit one out of 10. I don't know. It's so counterintuitive to how most of us grew up and how most of us think about business.
Well, and it really affects the small business owner, because here you have an owner and they see, I don't know, Turnkey. And Turnkey says, we'll give you $10,000 if you join our program and low commission. And then they look at a company that has to make money and they think, well, I'm just comparing apples to apples. I'm going to assume there's no difference. Why would I pay small business guy more money? Now, I will say, I don't know if I've shared this with you, Tim. We had somebody that used one of those companies that has come running to us this year saying that they got five different people on the phone in one day every time they called. No one knew who they were. I mean, I truly believe over time that owners will learn and so will guests. But anyway, we can get off that kick. I just wondered if you're seeing anyone crack the code.
No.
Good answer.
No.
Okay, we still want to get a lightning round in here, or as I call it, rapid fire, but I'd be remiss if we didn't give you an opportunity to talk about the Vacation Rental Women's Summit in February of 2019. Of course, it's in New Orleans, if you guys didn't know out there, but you're not having it at the Days Inn. You're not having it at the Hilton. That baby's at the Ritz-Carlton. Talk to us about that,
yes,
Amy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it is. So excited. Well, first of all, we got an incredible rate at the Ritz-Carlton. It's $229 a night, which I think is less than we paid at MGM.
Yes,
so
it
I'm
is.
Pretty excited about that. But the hotel is just so incredibly special. And its location is very convenient. It's also a very safe spot. And I think that's what we were trying to accomplish the most in New Orleans, to have a place that people could feel very comfortable at that without... Because some people are very, you know, traveling to New Orleans by yourself can be a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just such a party environment that we felt like that was the right thing to do. But I'm so excited. We have Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and Big Magic is one of our keynotes. And so is Lady Carnarvon, who is the Countess at England's Highclere Castle, which is Downton Abbey. And one of the cool things about her is that as an entrepreneur, she really proactively went out to try to find ways to save the castle. And so she used all of her skills as a homeowner, and she turned over a lot of rocks before she found Downey. But she's just done so well, and she's just an incredible, most hospitable, authentic entrepreneur I've met, and everybody's really thrilled to see her. We had Tina Weyen, who is the chief product officer at HomeAway, and Marilyn Clark, who's president at Wyndham Vacation Rentals. So those are our headliners. And past that, we just have a lot of sessions that are designed for the women in our industry. And some awards, some pioneering awards for some of the women who set the stage. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, not every conference has a countess. And not every conference has a high tea either. I saw that on the agenda. So this is going to be special.
We are. We're doing the high tea in honor of Lady Carnarvon. So I'm very excited. Past that, though, there are just... did you see Leslie at Batcare on stage at the conference?
Yes.
Leslie Preston? Mm-hmm. She is now coming and to talk about that end-to-end guest experience that she described at the show. So that was a new addition from the VRMA conference I'm pretty excited about.
You can find out more about that at vacationrentalwomen.com. And that is coming up in February. So there's still time to register, but it sounds like you're going to have a full house. Are you allowing any gentlemen to come, by the way?
We are.
Okay, good.
And we aren't even making anyone do anything weird. We've had some suggestions that they dress appropriately and that we call them our wingmen.
Okay.
It's been kind of interesting. But no, I'm really encouraging. We have a little over 10% of the people who have signed up so far are guys, which is about 30 people. And I actually really think it's going to be, again, a really great show. A lot of stuff about customer service and conflict management and workforce development. And so it's like there are just some more management style content there that I think guys would find interesting as well.
So, Amy, will there be vendors at the conference?
We do have vendors coming as attendees, and we do have some sponsoring the event. So, for instance, Red Sky is doing the cocktail party at the Redfish Grill on Tuesday night. But we are not having a vendor hall. We're not doing an exhibit hall. And I'm not sure if that's the right thing to do. I think my thought is just trying to develop the ecosystem around women in the space and not try to make your event a high sales event.
I like it a lot. Looking forward to that. So what else new is going on in the industry in your view?
Well, I think one of the things that we're seeing is how people are getting really creative in changing the way they look at jobs within their company. So my favorite one that we've heard recently that I haven't had a chance to write about is the idea of having stagers instead of inspectors. So with the idea that a stager is looking forward to making it right for the guest, while an inspector typically is looking at judging housekeeping performance. So I think it's really interesting to see people take these individual job descriptions and kind of adjust them into the story of the guest instead of the typical everyday drudgery of property management. And so, again, the staging opportunity was one of my favorite ones that I heard.
I have never heard that, and I just wrote that down. That was a pullover moment, and it is what we've been talking about that inspectors do now. And it defines it so much better than inspecting. What do you think, Tim?
I am writing it as well. You can always count on Amy for good content. Okay, so that brings us to what you witnessed in Las Vegas. You remember Sharon Walker did the rapid fire round from Austin, Texas. So you saw it in person, and now you get to participate, Miss Amy Highnote. So start the clock. All right, Amy, give me a book that's had a big influence on you. This could be one you've read or one you may have written.
Big Data. Actually, it came out a few years ago, and it was a huge influence on the company and how Key Data was built.
All right. Amy, what do you like on your pizza?
Pepperoni.
Do you consider yourself a morning person or a night owl?
Night owl. All night. Excuse me. All night.
Amy, what is the single biggest thing that you think vacation rental managers are ignoring and they should turn and focus on it?
Owner education and owner communication.
Okay, give me a skill or a talent that you do not possess that you wish you had.
Guitar.
Amy, I happen to be friends with you on Facebook and see that you have had some very tough flights in the air lately. What's your favorite airline?
JetBlue. for sure. It's just they'd never fly out of here. The one that I can't get.
Okay, and along that line, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Italy. I still haven't been there yet, and I'm still trying to get there.
Nice. Where in Italy?
That's a really good question. I don't know enough about it to know. Everyone seems to have really enjoyed the Lake Como area. I do want to see Venice and Rome, but everyone who goes to Rome comes back with a pretty rough story. But that doesn't sound overly fun, but definitely the coastal areas too.
Yeah, you might not want to have the Women's Summit in Rome. Okay. If you opened a vacation rental company tomorrow, where would you open it?
That is a really tough question. I would consider doing something that has a really strong theater market that's close to the city. There's nothing else out there. Maybe an hour outside of Chicago, something that some of these weather patterns might not impact quite as much. And it has a really strong multi-million dollar theater market city.
Amy, what's your favorite song?
So it's super old, but it's Edie Brickell. Mm-hmm. What I Am. Do any of you remember this at all?
What I Am is what I am.
What I am. What you are or what. Yeah, exactly. I don't know why.
Okay.
All right, Amy, my last question for you. What is your favorite article you ever wrote in VRM Intel?
I wrote one about what makes a good website, and no one read it. And it was absolutely, I'm going to send you the link to this, actually. Like, it was one of the least popular articles on the site, and I spent so much time on it, basically looking at where VRBO and Airbnb get it wrong on websites and where a lot of the property management companies are getting it right and kind of new features. And it was just like, wow, that was so not good, apparently. It's really disappointing.
Well, let's pull that right back up. Yeah, let's revive that. Send it to us. We'll put it on Facebook when we post this podcast. And let's get, maybe it's kind of that oldie but goodie, and everyone will finally read it.
Absolutely. We can do that for you. Okay, I got two more. One quick one. Okay, so when you're scanning channels and you see that movie that you love for the 14th time, what's that one that you got to see every time?
Remember the Titans.
Good one.
Most definitely.
Okay. Final question. Where will your company be in 3 years?
Okay, here's a you heard it here first. The roadmap right now is that we're going to have VRM Intel will still go strong, ideally, if all you guys continue to read it. We'll add the Owner Magazine in early 2019. It reaches the homeowner population, and then we're going to put together a marketplace that allows homeowners to find property managers and allow property managers to really showcase what sets them apart in a much more homeowner-friendly fashion than some of the marketing materials that are out there right now.
Okay, as usual, you win nothing but our undying appreciation for playing our name game. So thank you, Amy. And now it's time for Not So Hot Off the Press, But Definitely Happening. Sarah, and I think it's so appropriate that we have Amy on the episode because you people have no idea how many Not So Hot Off the Press items that Amy has given us over the last year and a half. And this one goes back to something you just talked about.
Yes, and I'll tee it up for Amy to share a little bit more about it. But Amy has just kind of revealed that she is producing and going to be publishing an owner magazine. And I asked her earlier about this before we started recording. So Amy, it's going to be a magazine for the private homeowner that's not using a vacation rental company. Is that right?
It's actually for both. Private owners, homeowners who are in the rental pool. What it's called Second Home Quarterly. And so it's like a big SHQ. It's a pretty sexy magazine. I'm excited about it. And we actually picked an ad agency out of Aspen to help us put it together. They've done an amazing job. We realized about a year ago that the homeowner community doesn't have enough education about what's going on in the industry so that when property managers are trying to communicate with them or they're trying to make decisions about property management or about even self-management, that they don't have enough information to do that. So I think we felt like that having a homeowner magazine could help elevate the entire industry and make properties better vacation rental options for guests. And so that's what we decided to go forward with this. I'm actually really excited about it. There are a lot of articles that we have that go both ways, you know what I mean, that are just as relevant for the homeowner as they are for the property manager, just kind of spun a little bit differently. Absolutely. There were a lot of synergies there for us, and I think it's going to be something that, if we do it right and we make it aesthetically sexy but also really informative, I think that we can do a good job with it.
Well, congrats. I don't know where you find the time to add another magazine to your list, and I'm assuming another website. So congratulations, and can I still be on the list to receive it even though, well, I own my own property, so I could get it, right?
You can get it any way you want to get it. Yeah. But I also just want to say to both of you, congratulations on what you've done. I think that talk about elevating the industry, the kind of information that you're putting out there that is so relevant to the reality of property management versus so much of the noise that you might see on my side. It's just so incredibly refreshing, and I'm just so impressed with what you guys have done.
Thanks, pal. All right, that's Amy Highnote. You can find her content on VRMIntel.com. If any of you out there didn't already know, she is the one of the top influencers, if not the top person in the industry in terms of having your finger on the pulse. And then we've already told you, VacationRentalWomen.com. That's the Vacation Rental Women Summit that's happening in February, the 19th and 20th in New Orleans. So make sure you make time to get there.
Thank you, Amy. And just so you know, Amy is not only smart, but she's fun to be around. So
yes,
I love you being in the industry, and I love hanging out with you. Thanks for all that you do.
I feel the same way. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. All right, Sarah, that'll do it. We got a couple of more weeks before the end of the year, and so we'll get another episode out for everybody, and then we have our usual year-end episode that will be fun. I've got a lot of outtakes I've been saving for that, so look forward to that.
Oh, no. I'm going to take over recording in 2019. How about that?
Yes. Fantastic. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Tim, and thank you, Amy.
So long, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sea to Ski with Sarah and T, Professional Vacation Rental Managers Podcast, brought to you by Sarah Bradford of Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, as well as Tim Cafferty of Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue Realty Services. Together, Sarah and Tim manage more than 600 privately owned vacation rental properties, and both are regarded as experts in the vacation rental management industry. Music provided by Ben Sound. We encourage your participation on this podcast by sharing it with friends, and please feel free to rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Comments or reviews on this particular podcast can be made on their website, seatoski.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast as well as provide them feedback on this episode or give them ideas for future topics. We look forward to speaking with you next time on Sea to Ski with Sarah and T. What I am is what I am, you what you are.